Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast, brought to you by Traeger Grills. It is Wednesday. It is time to start postseason basketball in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I am hyped. I don't know if you can tell, Eric McLean, I'm hyped. I know you are as well.
I am jacked up, Kelly. It's time for postseason. We've got kind of not an emergency pod, but an early pod.
We had to put it out early.
Think of this as kind of like, you know, Christmas Eve, if you will. So we had to get it out, get in front of it. And I mean, we had a rock star guest, Kelly Gramlich, who just joined us.
Coach Jeff Walz, head coach of the Louisville women's basketball program, 3 Final Fours under his belt. They're the number one seed in the ACC tournament this weekend. They have the ACC Player of the Year in Dana Evans. We talked to him about a lot of great stuff, and he is one of those coaches. You don't get coach speak from this guy. No. He is 100% truthful. He's going to tell you like it is. He does a great job of you can tell how much he cares about his players and how great he thinks they are. But he is not going to coach speak you. And that's why he is a great podcast guest.
It was a ton of fun. Before we dive into the guest introduction, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Traeger Grills. And I told you kind of a free hand ad earlier this week. I want to get back to kind of my roots here and tell you guys again about the brand new Apple Watch. They just launched the Traeger app on the Apple Watch. You now will have the ability to control everything on your Traeger grill right on your wrist. With this app, you'll be able to control grill temperature, check the meat probe, see where you are on the cooking process, and even keep activated the keep warm mode, which is very important if you're out and about on the go and you can't get back in time when that grill is done. If you have an Apple Watch, guys, I highly recommend you download the app, check it out, because it just adds to the endless possibilities on Traeger, making it even easier to use. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around their site and once you've selected the pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACC Sports for free shipping on your entire order.
Free shipping. You had me at free, Mac. You had me at free. Check out our good friends over at Traeger Grills. All right, Mac, it's time for our first ever active head coach. We had Coach Rick on. But Coach Rick is now an analyst. So our first ever active head coach, Jeff Walz, the head coach of one of the best women's basketball programs in the country at Louisville, has posted a 380 and 106 record in his career at Louisville. He's led the Cards to 3 Final Fours in 2009, 2013, and 2018, and is looking to make another one this season. He has coached the ACC Player of the Year in 5 of the last 6 seasons, and he helped 2-time ACC Player of the Year Dana Evans become the best player in the league after winning 6th Player of the Year honors as a sophomore.
Listen, guys, Coach Walz is a Kentucky native. He truly has built Louisville into a national powerhouse. It didn't just happen overnight. He has coached 11 WNBA future players and has directed the Cardinals to 11 straight 20-win seasons and at least a share of 4 straight ACC regular season titles. We know he is motivated to leave Greensboro this weekend with an ACC tournament championship trophy.
It's time to talk to Coach Walz. Let's go.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
All right, Coach Walz, we appreciate your time so much. You're getting ready for the ACC tournament. Let's just start with, I know this is a generic question and you've probably answered it a lot, but I'm so intrigued to hear what different coaches say about this. You've been coaching for a while. How has this season been? We're in a global pandemic. I mean, and we made it to the end of the regular season. It's kind of amazing. So overall, how has this been for you?
You know what? It's really been amazing in a lot of ways, considering the fact we were able to play a max of 25 games and we were able to get 23 of them in. And for us, we played 11 of those 23 in the month of January. So we had 5 going into to Christmas because we were hit with the virus. And then it took a lot of scrambling. It took a lot of phone calls. I had a group of coaches on a text chain that when anybody needed a game, we text each other. I've got to give Kevin McMillan a shout out from UT Martin for the willingness to come up and play us twice. But he had had the same problems. So just being able to find games, and I took that as a responsibility for myself, for my players. They decided to play and not opt out, and they wanted to play basketball. So when we were getting games canceled, then I took it upon myself as it's my job to find them. So our players were great. The schools that agreed to play at the last minute, it worked out for both of us. And then you've got to give a huge shout out to all the medical staff, not just ours, of doing everything possible to try to make this the safest year as they could. And then the athletic departments, the athletic directors, the conferences, for their willingness to fund it. Because, you know, the tests weren't cheap. And a lot of money has been put into testing and protocols and making sure our student athletes were safe and put in a situation where they could go play and not have to worry about everything else.
I can't, you know, imagine just Kelly and I obviously both playing our respective sports at Clemson, just going through that right now as a student athlete. I mean, the sacrifices that you have to make, the fact that you can't go be a normal, you know, 18 to 21 year old kid. You have to make these decisions and really take a step back. So I know your girls did a great job of doing that. And one I want to dive into a little bit more specifically, and I'm actually, you know, kind of surprised that Kelly let me ask this question, because I was looking for something that she had posted on Twitter the other day, and I was just scrolling through her account looking for this particular video, and it's just Dana Evans video, Dana Evans video. Every time I'm looking,
like, I'm a stan. I'm a stan.
So if you guys need another marketing girl, I think Kelly would gladly take that job. But I want to ask you about Dana and the fact that she just was named ACC Player of the Year two consecutive seasons. That's four straight for you guys. What some people might not remember is the fact that she was, you know, sixth player of the year as a sophomore. Could you talk to us a little bit more and just in depth of her journey, you know, graduating? I know that's a huge thing for her and her family. The fact that she is two-time ACC Player of the Year, and just what makes her so special.
She's a great kid, first off. I call them kids because they are like my kids. You know, I treat them like my own, and sometimes that's tough love at times, but it's what a parent does. And I'm very fortunate to have a great group of them. But Dana's one who truly went through the process. And you can tell these players today coming out of high school that, hey, you're going to have ups and downs, and nobody thinks there's ever going to be a down, you know, because they've been told by everybody how great they are. You know, you're the best next player since this one or that one. And then a lot of coaches have to spend about a year de-recruiting them to get them to understand, well, you're not quite as good as I said you were, but and we try to be extremely honest. You know, we tell them, I tell them, if you come in here as a freshman and you're good enough to play, I'm going to play you. There is no seniors play before freshmen play. And Dana came in, and she came in when we had some pretty talented players. We had Asia Duran here, Erica Carter, Jasmine Jones, Sam Fearing, Kylie Shook. You could just Maisha Hines Allen. And, you know, she knew she wasn't going to be the go-to player. And this is a kid coming out of high school that scored about 30 points a night. As a freshman, she just gravitated to being our best defender. She wanted to be the best on-ball defender there was in the country, and that's what she worked at. And we go to the Final Four that year. She's a huge part of that, but averaged 5 points a game, you know, and was okay with that because we had others that could score the basketball. Then her sophomore year, one of her goals was to be a starter. And this is where I think the biggest improvement in her game came, maturity wise, and that's she earned the right to start. She started our first two or three games. Erica Carter and her were competing at practice every single day, a healthy competition between the two. But after about three games, I realized for our ball club, the best thing was for Dana to come off the bench. I needed Dana to come off the bench because she was able to change the tempo, change the pace of the game. And Erica, I say it all the time. She's over in Spain playing right now. She was drafted by Phoenix and played in the WNBA. But I always say Erica will be the best 50 and over men's YMCA player that there is.
Come on.
No, there's nothing like fancy about her game. She's not throwing behind the back passes, but she understands the game. She gets the ball to the players that can score in scoring positions. She knocks down open shots. She makes the right read, but there was nothing flashy about her. And that's what it's a huge compliment to her, because I said, AC, you're able to impact the game and you're not an and one mixtape. So I then had to talk to Dana and say, Dana, here's what's best for our team, babe. And it took a week or so. It took a week or two for her to digest that, because every kid, they all want to do that stupid handshake. You know, they got 14 different handshakes.
Coach, it's all about the handshake. It's all about the handshake.
It's ridiculous. But I challenged her. I said, you can either be another starter in the ACC, or you can go out here and try to win sixth player of the year. And thank goodness for me that she did win sixth player of the year, or she would have thought I was full of BS for the rest of her career. But we had a great year. We go get beat in a great game against UConn. And then all of a sudden, AC graduates. You've got AC graduating, Sam Furing. So we had some kids that graduated. And now you move into her junior year, where now all of a sudden, she's a definite in the starting rotation. I need more scoring from her. She had to do more, and she stepped her game up. And she just continued to progress, and I'd put a new challenge in front of her, and she would tackle it. Then I'd put another one in front of her. And this year, my challenge to her was to make the next read coming off of ball screens. When people blitz you, you've got to see the next pass. And that's exactly what she's done. And, you know, to go from sixth player of the year to player of the year, it's never been done before in the ACC, men or women. And then to go sixth player, player of the year is pretty darn impressive. And the kid works at it. It's not an accident. And that's one thing I tell all of my players. Asia Durr being back-to-back player of the year was not an accident either. You know, you have to work at your game. But at the same time, it doesn't guarantee you you're going to get those results.
For sure. And, you know, Coach, you and I have talked about Dana a good bit. And the thing that makes her so unique, she can do everything. But when you pair her speed with her ability to shoot the ball and then also the vision, which is a piece you were talking about this year, that's what makes her unique to me. You've coached a lot of great players. What makes Dana unique to you?
Her chip. Mm. She's always been told, you're too small.
Yeah.
Do this, you can't do that. And she's always out to prove you wrong. You know, she's got a little bit of Shoni Schimmel in her. You know, when Shoni played here for us, when we went to play Baylor in that 2013 Sweet 16, I just said, do not drive the ball against Brittany Griner. Do not drive it. We're shooting threes. And she was like, I'll show you. And, you know, the first time she went in, she had a Wilson spot across her forehead.
Yep.
Brittany Griner blocked it. And I got on her. I said, don't do it. And then about 5 minutes later, she puts it up over her head and it goes in. She gets fouled. But that's Dana. If somebody tells Dana, you can't do it, she's going to say, yes, I can. But she works at it. And that's what separates players. You know, I talk about Shoni because it's the same way. If Shoni would watch a pass by a WNBA player and say, I want to do that. But she'd never do it in the game until she mastered it in practice, because she never wanted to look bad doing it. And I admire that about her. And Dana's the exact same way. So that chip is what's gotten her to where she is, because she also has great work ethic.
That's amazing. And that goes to show, you know, obviously I know the game from afar and have my ideas and thoughts on great players, but that just, you know, really confirms it. And that's, I think, why she is the way that she is. Now, Coach, you're known as an elite recruiter. You get these amazing players, McDonald's All-Americans, to come in. You have a couple of freshmen on this roster, and Haley and Olivia, that are just special. And I think that this year has had to have been a little bit more difficult than others for a freshman to come in, because you don't have preseason workouts. You don't have access to just go to the gym anytime you want, which I think for basketball is so important. So with that and the lack of the offseason, how have those two been able to be so special and have such, you know, impactful years that they have so far?
They're both talented players, first off. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like they came in here and couldn't play and we turned them into these great players. But they both also have a drive, and they want to be great. And that's what you have to have. And I mean, we were fortunate that we were able to have some off season workouts and some preseason things, but it was all time oriented. You were able to be in the gym for an hour. It wasn't your traditional. I think the biggest adjustment, and not just for our freshmen, for all freshmen, is this was nowhere close to being what a freshman year in college is supposed to be like. You know, just being able to go to your student union with a classmate and have lunch, and that classmate have no idea about basketball. So you talk about anything else but basketball. You need a break from it. But that's one thing like these kids have not had, you know, because there is no going with just your casual friend to have lunch because you're trying to stay in your own circle. But those two have really done a remarkable job. I mean, I'm just our entire team. You're looking at a ball club that graduated three starters. You know, we start two freshmen. And then you've got Dana, and we've had multiple different lineups throughout the year, and we were still able to finish 14-2 in the league. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, it should have been like a co-championship with NC State, but because of the unbalanced scheduling, we both had two losses. You know, it was a tough spot the ACC's in, because what do you do if somebody only was able to get in 10 games and they're 8-2? So, but to be able to do what we were able to do, and we did play everybody in the league except for Virginia. We played everybody at least once. So to finish 14-2, starting two freshmen, and not one other player was on first or second team or honorable mention, I just think it speaks volumes for just the level of talent we have here and what we're able to do as a staff to get the best out of it.
It's a great point, Coach. Yeah, and that brings us right into the ACC tournament, which I know you're getting ready to leave for pretty soon. And Dana Evans actually mentioned this on Packer and Durham when I was watching her this morning. She said, "I haven't won an ACC tournament since my freshman year." And that's a very motivating thing for her. You guys have won the regular season or a share of it for 4 years. So where is that for you, Coach? Like, where's the motivation there to win an ACC tournament, something that you haven't been able to do in a little bit?
Well, I mean, we're always out to try and win championships. Now, like I explained to Dana, I said, now you realize you've only had one other chance, you know, it's like we had the ACC tournament last year, you know, and then she wants to have a chance to win an NCAA championship. And I'm like, you know, we went to the Final Four, but with it being canceled last year, you know, you haven't had those opportunities. But the ACC tournament, I think it's going to be great again. Kelly, I've said it, and I said it in my little five-minute little spiel we had yesterday to the media, that I think the ACC is undervalued overall, top to bottom. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact we only had three teams preseason ranked in the top 25. We did not have the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Hmm. There were a lot of non-conference games that were not played. So when you've only got three teams ranked in the top 25, it's about impossible for others to move up into the top 25 unless they would beat NC State or us, because they start beating each other and then nobody's ever going to get enough votes to get into the top
25. That is exactly why I cannot stand the AP poll. So I'm right there with you. I want to 100%
agree with you.
Oh, yeah,
Mac is big anti-AP poll.
Yeah, so that's my and that's my thing. And then, you know, I look at Georgia Tech. You look at Florida State, who's got the fourth seed in our league. I mean, poor Brooke and them had played like eight games in the middle of January because of COVID. I think they're good. I think Nell's done a remarkable job at Georgia Tech. You know, you've got a lot of teams that I think if we had had a normal year, we'd probably have four or five that are ranked right now in the top 25. So that's one of the things that I think has had an impact on our league, is just for the fact where you start the year ranked. And hopefully – you and the rest of your crew will push our league and talk about how good we are instead of what we don't do well, because people do listen. And, you know, for some people that don't watch our ACC network, if we're on the air saying, oh, this team shouldn't be in the tournament, that team shouldn't be on the tournament, that's what they're hearing. So I would encourage all of our ACC network folk to actually promote our league instead of tear it down.
And that's what we're going to do right here. You kind of segued a little bit for me, but I want to look at your side of the bracket, you know, specifically, and you bring up FSU, the fact that they're the fourth best team and the fact that they probably should be ranked, and then either having to play UNC or Wake, a UNC team that's hot, a Wake Forest team that's playing for their first, you know, tournament chances since 88 when their coach, who right there was playing on the team. So when you look at those three teams as possible opponent, I guess just a quick, you know, I know you haven't broken down all of them yet, but just a quick thing for those three teams and what to watch out for.
Well, I'll start with Wake. I think Jen has done a remarkable job. I mean, they absolutely have a ball club that should get into the NCAA tournament. If you just look at their net, you know, the NCAA net rankings that they have, they're pretty high up there. I think the high 40s, very deserving to be in. Conti, Rocca, just some very talented players. Spears, the freshman, she's done a great job. It's a ball club that, you know, I think win or lose should get great consideration for the NCAA tournament. And then Carolina's got unbelievable talent from top to bottom. That's one, if you look at their roster, I'm thoroughly impressed with. And now they're really starting to play some good basketball. Again, if you get your normal 8 to 10 non-conference games, we're not even having a discussion if Wake Forest or Carolina is even going to be in the NCAA tournament. Now, I personally think Carolina is in without question. With the way they played for the last two weeks. But unfortunately, I'm not on that selection committee.
They don't let you on there? You kidding?
No. I would love to help them, though.
That's right. You and me both, my man.
And then you've got Florida State, who, you know, they're a really, really talented team. Morgan Jones has been playing some great basketball. They've got great guard depth, some nice posts. So our side of the bracket, I'm pretty impressed with, and I know it's going to be a ball game. And then you've got Syracuse at the 5. I mean, it's some pretty darn good basketball with some pretty good coaching.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. And you know, I want to ask you specifically about the women's game, because I know we've had a few talks about this, and your insight is excellent. Overall, I think we've seen a lot of parity this year. And you mentioned, you know, not as many teams ranked out of the ACC, but overall, we've had number ones lose, and we've seen that all over the place. So in your opinion, where are we as a game, and where do you think we can go?
I personally think that we are one of the higher places within our game. If you in the 25, 26 years that I've been doing it, I'll go out on a limb here because I'm excited about this year for the fact that every game is going to be on a neutral court.
Really? Okay. That's interesting.
It would not surprise me of your top 16 seeds if 4 to 6 of them do not advance past the second round.
I agree.
You don't have that home court.
I agree.
You don't have the home court, and it matters. I mean, it does. I mean, everybody wants to be if it didn't matter, everybody wouldn't be pushing to be a top 4 seed.
That's right. In
the NCAA tournament. So I do believe that you're going to see some upsets in the second round. There's just too many good teams. You know, just look at some of the dynamic players that we have in this game. You look, they're all over the place. And I think everybody's starting to get a little bit better. And I think more of the good players are going to different schools. So it's not just, you know, your Fab Five at one school. I joked all the time when I heard Gino talk about the other day about role players. You know, and I was like, back in 2009, our banners were behind me here. In 2009 and 13, when we played him in the Final Four, he never once said a word about having a role player on his team. I think his starting five were all drafted
right
in the first round.
Right.
You know, but I think it just shows you how much more parity we have in
yes.
where teams are going. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited. I think it's good for the game. To me, it wasn't a huge upset when Carolina beats NC State, when we go to Florida State and get beat. We don't have the teams anymore where you just show up and you're like, easy win. It's not there anymore. Pitt, Joanna at Boston College, Joanna had NC State beat.
Oh, she did. That game.
Huh. And you look at all of Pitt's scores. I mean, they're heartbreakers. I mean, how many games have come down to the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game, and they just haven't been able to close it out? They're really young. So I'm impressed with our league, and I think that the ACC is in a very good place. It's only going to get better. And I think overall, women's basketball is going to continue to grow.
I completely agree with you, Coach. I think that we're seeing it become more and more popular, more and more normal to just be sitting there and have a group of people watching a women's game, watching a WNBA game. So I completely agree with you. I think the numbers that we saw, Monica, a good friend of Kelly and I's, was on that call for the South Carolina UConn game, the most watched women's game ever, just happened. So I completely agree. I think we're going in a very good direction. As we wrap up here, again, super grateful for your time. I want to kind of go a little bit away from basketball, still kind of towards it. You grew up in Kentucky. You're a native son of the state. What has it meant to you to go to Louisville, to build this program up in your home state?
Well, having the opportunity in this profession, you just go where the job takes you. I mean, it's not like, you know, I want to be an accountant, so I'm going to look for how many accountants agencies you have in Louisville. Like, you just go where the job takes you. You know, I started off at Western Kentucky, was fortunate enough to coach my sister for a year. Then I go to Nebraska, to Minnesota, to Maryland. And, you know, I had applied for several head coaching jobs throughout my 5 years at Maryland and just could not get in the door. And then all of a sudden I got the phone call from here at Louisville saying that they'd be interested. And, you know, I talked to Julie Herman at the time, who was their SWA, and she's like, you know, we really want you. And I told her, and Kelly, you'll appreciate this, I said, that's what every coach tells every player. We really right. want you. And I said,
You've done some recruiting.
Well, yeah. And I said, are you offering me a scholarship, or are you just saying you really want me? Are you offering me the job or not? And Julie was great. And she was like, you know what, you come on in here and meet with Tom. And if things go well, I feel good about it. And, you know, the one thing I say, and I say this all the time, you have to invest in yourself. And when Tom Jurich offered me the job here, I can remember sitting at the downtown Marriott. He asked me, he said, so what's it going to take to get you? And I said, I know what an assistant coach makes, and I really don't care. Are you offering me the job? And he said, yeah. I took the job and had no idea what he was going to pay me. And I just said to him, I said, you're a fair man, and you'll take care of me and my family, correct? He said, yes, sir. I accepted the job, had a press conference before I had any idea what the salary would
that be. That is awesome. That's
but so I was cool. investing in myself. You know, no doubt. Times you have to invest in yourself, and then you got to be confident to put the work in. And having the opportunity to be back, Mac, to be back here in Kentucky, I've got two older brothers, a younger sister. My grandfather is 98, still watches all of our ball games. My parents, you know, it's been fantastic. And it's a place I plan to stay and be here until hopefully I finish and just go with it and try and make the best of it.
That's awesome. We love that. Okay, one more. We'll let you go, Coach. Because I've been to these games in Louisville, and I know you talk about freshmen not getting the full experience. And what I hate for them is not being able to play in front of the packed house that the Yum Center is. When you first got to Louisville, I know that you'd invest in yourself and you knew you could build this program. But when you see the fan support you guys have now, Louisville to me is a women's basketball town. Like, that's what I call it. They're obsessed with you guys. So what does it mean for you to have that kind of support and to have built that?
It's fantastic. I mean, it's been fun to watch. And it starts with your players having personality, you know, and you have to be good. Like,
you got
to
win.
I'm not stupid.
But like, Angel McCautry was not only a great player, but she played with a personality. She played with passion. You know, I had so many coaches that would ask me, oh, she had to be tough to coach. I'm like, no, she wasn't. You know, you just had to get to know her and know that the passion she played with was because she wanted to win. And then she was so good with our fan base. She still is. When she comes back home, if you follow her on social media, she's always tweeting positive things or retweeting about the program. This is what Angel McCautry helped build, and she's proud of it. And then, you know, you come along and we get a Shoni Schimmel and Maisha, then Asia. All these kids do a wonderful job giving back to our community. And what's terrible about this year, obviously, with the pandemic, is we used to sign autographs after every single home game, win or lose. Kelly, and I tell people it's easy after you win.
Oh.
After you lose and four little kids come down and tell you how great you did and you're the one that missed the game-winning shot and you want to be like, I was terrible. But you got – and I tell them, we meet for about 20 seconds at half court. And I'm like, all right, now we're going to find out what kind of character you have. Mm. You got to go put a smile on your face, thank people for coming. And our players do a remarkable job of that, win or lose. And that, to me, is what makes this place so special.
They do. And I was lucky enough to call last year your senior day game. And I had never seen a crowd react to a player like they did to Jasmine Jones. It really blew me away. It was really special, Coach.
No, it was. I mean, it was pretty neat. And Jazz is one of those that she lights up a room. When she goes into it, she's got the biggest smile on her face, makes everybody else smile. And that's what it's all about. It's giving back to the game. I mean, we tell our kids all the time, it's when you leave, it's not what you've taken, it's what you've left. And we have a great group that have gone through here for 13 years, this will be year 14, that have always given back. And that's why we continue to build. That's why, you know, when I was hired here, Tom Jurich said one thing to me. He goes, I don't want a good team every 4 or 5 years. I want a program. I want you to build a program. And that's one of the things that I'm really proud of, because I think we've done that. We've built a consistent program over the past 12, 13 years. And as you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do, but it's been something we've taken a lot of pride in.
Coach, man, this was a real
treat.
Yeah,
this was awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Huge thank you to our Traeger Grills guest of the week, head coach Jeff Walls from the Louisville Cardinals. Coach, let us in on some secrets of the Louisville program, maybe some stuff that you guys didn't get to hear. We talked a little bit after with Coach Walls. It was a ton of fun, but I'm going to let you guys in on a life secret right now. Go and buy a Traeger grill. I promise you it's going to change your life for the better. Once you do that, go download their app, find them on social media at Traeger Grills. They are always posting great recipes, great ideas for inspiration. You are not going to want to miss out that. But Kelly, we talked about it a little bit with Coach at the end of the interview, which was awesome. I think I'm going to go ahead and say this, my favorite guest that we've had come on the podcast.
Oh man. Okay, guys, here's the thing. When I told Mac we were getting Coach Walls, he was excited because he's a big-time coach, a big-time program, right? But then I was like, Mac, you and Coach Walls are going to become best friends.
That's basically what we are. We've already texted back and forth. You know, it's wild. It's incredible.
Coach Walls at one point was like, Mac, football is not important here, man. Like, we're talking women's basketball.
He let me know very quickly where I stand in kind of his value of importance. But once we kind of got around the football, I'm back there at the top.
Right,
so I'm feeling
right.
good.
Exactly.
I'm feeling good. But we talked a little bit about the tournament with Coach, which it was fun to hear his insight. And I mean, obviously, this guy studies these teams immensely. And so it's fun to hear his thoughts on them. Now we're going to interview our little home guest here, our analyst, Kelly Gramlich. And we're going to dive all the way into this women's basketball tournament in the ACC.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here. Hello.
Yeah, right. First time guest, long time listener.
Hello, I'm
understand.
A little nervous. Hi.
Let's start in the second round, Kelly, because I think this is where it gets really interesting really quickly. Thursday, March 4th. Let's just jump into it. Game 2, number 8 North Carolina, number 8 seed, by the way, versus the number 9 seed Wake Forest noon. Tell me what you're thinking there between those two teams.
This game is going to be really fun. This is probably the game that I'm looking forward to the most on that that Thursday. And it's the first one. But these two teams are so evenly matched. That's what I like about this matchup. They split in the regular season. They're rivals. They know each other really well. And you have the youth of North Carolina against the experience, Ivana Raza and Gina Conti of Wake Forest. You also have, as Coach Walls alluded to, North Carolina, to me, is in the tournament. Wake Forest, I think Wake Forest is a tournament team. But according to Charlie Cream right now, they're on the outside looking in. So this is a must win for Wake. I think if they win this game, they have a chance to make the tournament. They don't necessarily have to beat Louisville. But it's a huge game with both of these teams. And what I'm looking for is Deja Kelly, the freshman point guard for North Carolina, who the last 2 weeks has just been tremendous. Two-time ACC Rookie of the Week the last 2 weeks. that matchup with Gina Conti, who gets the better of each other at the point guard spot? Can Holashinska and Stephanie Watts knock down threes for North Carolina because they need that scoring punch? And can Ratza score inside if Bailey's in there and being really physical with her? I am leaning, I hate to say this. UNC is so hot. They're one of the hottest teams in the country, so I'm leaning North Carolina here. But I think Wake is a tournament team, and I think they need to win this game to prove it. So it's a very important one.
I think what Coach said is absolutely correct. The fact that this league is undervalued, you just look at the net rankings. Every game pretty much was a net one in some form or fashion, a quad one, in some form or fashion, whether it was a home or away game. That's how in-depth this league is. That's why I think this tournament is going to be just bonkers. Let's move on to game three, the five seed in Syracuse versus the winner of game one, Pitt and Boston College.
So both Pitt and BC have played Syracuse well this season. So keep an eye on that. Now, this is a tough spot to be in when you're the only team that has played the day before. So Syracuse is rested and Pitt or BC will not be. And both of those teams have had injuries. Both of those teams do not have depth. Pittsburgh is missing arguably their best player in Dejounette Harris, the point guard who is out for the rest of the year. So I think Syracuse is going to win this game, no matter who the opponent is. But I worry about Syracuse. And this is an overall theme with this tournament with Syracuse. Syracuse is so talented. They're incredibly talented, but they are so inconsistent at times. They're just up and down. They're up and down. And so which Syracuse will show up? Something tells me that a very good version of Syracuse will show up just because it's tournament time. They have so many veterans. They're going to step up. So I think they're going to win this second game on Thursday.
I love it. Again, there's just so much drama. You never know what's going to happen. How about the fourth game, right? How about the fourth game? The seventh seed Virginia Tech going against the 10th seed Miami. You can see that at 6 p.m. on RSN.
Miami has come out of nowhere. Miami is playing well the last couple games. And that is such a testament to Katie Meyer, who is one of the best coaches in the ACC. She's awesome. And she has some seniors. She's missing Mykia Gray, who was going to be a difference maker for them. She tore her ACL before the season. But Miami is a scrappy team. And they could catch Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech just lost to North Carolina. Now, we all know I love Virginia Tech. Asia Shepherd, Liz Kitley, arguably the best duo in the whole country. They're just incredible. Each of them can go for 30. On a given night. I don't know if Miami has the firepower offensively to keep up with Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech already beat them down in Miami a couple weeks ago. I'm leaning the Hokies here, but keep an eye on Miami. Keep an eye on them, y'all, because they are playing well lately.
Look out if you're playing Miami. You heard it here first. Now the final game of the second round, the sixth seed in Notre Dame versus your former Clemson Tigers, the 11th seed, 8:30 p.m., Thursday, March 4th. What are you thinking in this one?
This is also one of the most intriguing games. I would say the beginning and the end are the two most intriguing games on this day because Clemson beat Notre Dame back in late December. They beat them in Clemson, and they beat them pretty handily, and they shut down Matty Westbelt. So keep an eye on that and that result. However, Notre Dame has gotten a lot better since then. They've brought in Olivia Miles, who's a young point guard who reclassified, who looks really good. And Westbelt is just a baller. She's excellent, and she's gotten better every month of the season. Delisha Washington is one of the best scorers in the ACC. She is an all-ACC performer for Clemson. So I see it very much being Westbelt's going to carry Notre Dame, Delisha's going to carry Clemson, and which player can carry their team to a win. I'm leaning Notre Dame, and you know that pains me, Mac. I'm leaning Notre Dame, but I would not be surprised one bit if Clemson wins this game. This is truly the hardest. It's a toss-up for me. This one is a toss-up. The other two, I feel good about where I'm going. This one's a toss-up.
So Kelly flipped her coin, and it just so happened it landed on Notre Dame, and that's how she came
to
this.
No, it landed on its side,
oh,
right?
Wow.
Like, it didn't land on either side. Dang. It didn't land heads or tails. It just landed
truly
in the middle.
Truly a pick 'em for our degenerate gambler friends that listen to this podcast. So no help either way. You've got to figure it out. Okay, before we move on to the quarterfinals, which is Friday, March 5th, I've got to throw a little bit of a curveball, and she has no idea that this is coming, guys. So this is a real live reaction. Who out of these teams that are going to be playing in the second round could win the tournament?
Great question, Mac. My answer is Virginia Tech.
Come on.
The 7 seed. Now, some would say Syracuse, perhaps. And Syracuse is a team that, like I've said, if they just put it together and come out there and are they really playing together and consistently? Sure, there's a chance. But Virginia Tech is the best seven seed that we maybe have ever had in the ACC Women's Tournament. And it's mainly because they have truly two of the best four players in the league. They have Asia Shepherd and they have Liz Kelly. They have two of the best four players. Both of those players are dominant. Now, where Virginia Tech runs into issues is when other players don't step up. But if those two get hot and they play really well in this tournament, my upset bid, the team that I think can run the table from Thursday, is Virginia Tech. And they already beat NC State without Kunane, but they beat them earlier in the season. So keep an eye on those Hokies, Eric Macklin.
That I love that answer. And that's where I want to go directly next for the quarterfinals is you talk about those two great centers from Virginia Tech versus NC State. Obviously, Virginia Tech gets the dub without Kunane at NC State. She's there. She's healthy, and they're feeling good.
She's back.
That game is going to be the eighth game, if you will. Number two, NC State versus potentially number seven, Virginia Tech. What would you see in that? I mean, that's a dream matchup in the post where NC State normally has the advantage. Would you say Virginia Tech takes that advantage, or do you think Kunane is still that good?
So it's tough because I just said, keep an eye on Virginia Tech, which really I do. I think Virginia Tech is my team.
She's about to shut it all down.
From that Thursday. Keep an eye on them. But NC State is playing such good basketball, Mac. They're playing such good basketball. And I'm so glad Ja'Kia Brown-Turner was on the first team because I had her way up on my list. I think she's that talented. I've talked about her so much on this podcast. Kunane and Kitley, it's such a great matchup. You know, it's really just who you ask who's better. They're that equal. And then, you know, for Virginia Tech, like I said, sometimes their balance and their other players don't step up. But for NC State, it's all about balance. And that's what gives you an edge in tournaments, because you got to play three games in 3 days. Different players have to step up. And so I do think NC State is I'm leaning NC State. I'm leaning that way, Mac, in this game. But keep an eye on the Hokies. That's all I'm saying. Keep an eye on them.
Well, you can keep leaning, but I'm going to push you to make some picks here in a second, probably. let's go. We started with two. We'll go to one now with Louisville. We just heard all about the Cardinals and from their leader and the great players that they have. I think this matchup is interesting, whether it's North Carolina, whether it's Wake Forest, two teams that are just scrapping for tournament dreams right now. You have to go through number one potentially to do it. I do think Louisville is going to stand up and really puff out their chest and show, hey, we're one of the best teams in the country. And I think for all those reasons we just talked to Coach about. But talk to me a little bit about this game. How could it be interesting, maybe? And then why?
Well, I think North Carolina is a team that is similar to Louisville in a lot of ways. They want to get up and down and run. They are guard-driven and guard-oriented. And Deja Kelly is the X factor in this one because she's been playing so well lately. It's like the light has come on for her and she's just flipped a switch. So I think she can give Louisville some problems. Wake Forest almost beat Louisville. I called that game in Winston-Salem. If Dana doesn't have her late game heroics, Wake Forest does win it. So Wake has that confidence that, hey, we've taken them to the brink before, we can do it again. And I feel like whichever team wins that first game, UNC Wake is going to be feeling good heading into Louisville. Again, Louisville will be rested. They won't. So that's always a factor. I think UNC and Wake, I see that game going where UNC and Wake both put up a good fight against Louisville, but I think Louisville's going to get it done in that game.
Yeah. And something interesting you said right there about being rested and not, I would almost feel like a team like North Carolina, who's playing so hot right now, that might be more of a benefit to them because they're playing and they're staying in this streak. Do you agree with that or not so much?
I'm with you on that, Mac. And I think you're playing well, and if you have depth, and UNC does have depth. UNC plays like 10 players. So that can be a benefit for them. Wake does not have as much depth. So I do think I'm leaning North Carolina in that matchup. And I think North Carolina could hang with Louisville for a good portion of the game. Now, can they withstand a Louisville run? And can they make sure that other Louisville players don't step up? Those are the big questions. And that's why it's so tough to beat Louisville, because Dana's going to go out there and give you 25. So you got to deal with that.
Easily, right? She's going to drop it at the flick of the wrist, and really drop it down there. Let's hit these last two before I'm going to make you make some picks. I'm going to force to do it. Let's start with the four seed, Florida State. What do you like from them? And then tell me about the three seed in Georgia Tech and maybe why those two teams can be a real problem in this tournament.
These are two of, okay, you know how Leonard Hamilton likes to call his program a new blood?
Right.
Just in, he's exactly right to do that. Just in the ACC landscape, Georgia Tech has risen up. And of course, they're number three in the league this year, best finish ever. But Florida State on the women's side is kind of a new blood as well in the ACC. They have been consistently good, consistently Sweet 16 good for the last 10 years. And year in and year out, they just find a way. They upset Louisville last year. They almost won the ACC title. They lose all these seniors. Susan Morales taking a year off to help with her mother, and they're still good. Florida State has just built that kind of program, and you got to respect the heck out of it. So Florida State is a team you never want to count out, ever. You just can't. They're so tough. They're so physical. And Brooke Wyckoff's done a great job. And then Georgia Tech, they're a fun team to watch. They have had these two players in Lautinen and Kubai just take a complete next step in their game. And it's been incredible to watch. It's one of the reasons, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox too long here, Mac, but it's one of the reasons why I love women's basketball, because you get to watch players grow and you get to watch players take that next step in their game. And it's so fun to watch. So that's what I've seen with Georgia Tech. I think for me, I believe Coach Walls thinks that pretty much anyone could win the tournament. And I see where he's coming from. For me, I think Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, and possibly Mac, if they get really, really hot, Virginia Tech could win the ACC tournament.
Come on. So you think those four teams for sure?
Those are the four that I truly think can actually do it.
Okay. Well, that makes it a little bit easier for you. What I'm going to ask as we kind of transition out here, give me who is going to be playing in the championship game. Give me the two teams.
I know this sounds boring.
Don't pick one and two. Don't put us all to sleep.
I think Louisville and NC State. I do, Mac. I can't lie.
Well, I want to see it again. So I think that would be fantastic.
That's the thing.
I don't think it's boring. I was kind of picking on you.
It feels like Notre Dame-Clemson round two on the football field. And I know everyone loves Cinderellas, but like, we wanted to see that game. So I want to see these two powerhouses. I want to see Louisville and NC State. And I think we will. I think we will see those two in the championship game. It's going to be so much fun. And Mac, if you ask me right now, where am I leaning? Because I'm not making a pick yet. I don't have to make a pick till the day of the game because I can see how they're playing. Okay?
That's right.
But right now I'm leaning NC State just because of what I said earlier. Balance wins out in tournament time. When one player can beat you in one game and then the next game another player can beat you, I think that is what is so valuable in a tournament setting. And with Louisville, that is my biggest question for Louisville. I know Dana Evans is going to go out there and be exceptional. Who else is going to step up and be consistent? Because you've got all the talent in the world of Kiana Smith and Haley Van Lith and Olivia Cochran and Liz Dix and all these players. Who's going to step up and be consistent? So I think it's going to be NC State Louisville. I think it's going to be must-watch television. That will be noon on ESPN2. We will have pregame and postgame coverage for you on ACC Network. And maybe halftime on ESPN2. I'm not sure, but stay tuned for that. So we'll have you ready. But I think it's gonna be a great tournament, Mac. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I think the parity that we've seen, the fact that there's just so much depth, like Coach was talking about, like we've talked about it all year long. Okay, this is the second curveball. This is the unplanned question. This is now number three, actually, not number two. How many teams are going to make the NCAA tournament from the women's side in the ACC?
Okay. I love being a bracketologist. Okay. Here's how I think it's going to make it. Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, Florida State. That's four. Syracuse will be in. That's five. Virginia Tech will be in. That's six. North Carolina's in. That's seven. And then I think either Notre Dame or Wake can make it. Honestly, maybe both. I think that Notre Dame and Wake are both tournament teams. But I think if Wake loses to North Carolina, they can probably still get in. But Notre Dame, their resume is just not super sharp. If they lose to Clemson just because Clemson's net has dropped a lot, that could really hurt them. So I'm going to go in the middle there. I'm going to say eight teams get in.
All right, guys. So you heard it here first. If you're going to bet the house at Vegas, if the line is 8.5, take the under. Kelly Graham is going to make you a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess that's
She's going to make you a lot of money. I think that's a respectable number. I think eight would be a good year for the league. I think that would show some of that respect, maybe on the back end. You know, we didn't get it all year with rankings, but you guys can make
We'll see.
That's right.
Because Coach Wall says he's expecting upset. So we'll see.
I agree with Coach. On the men's side and the women's side, I think it is going to be chaos. We talked about it in yesterday's episode. We discussed kind of, or 2 days ago, we kind of talked about how that, you know, North Carolina game, Syracuse game was going to be how the entire tournament is going to be. And I think that's what we're going to see.
I am so pumped. Follow along the Graham Look and McElhain podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. All of March, we're going to have great guests. We're going to break down these ACC tournaments and then ACC teams in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be awesome. And our producer, Richmond Weaver, will be with us through it all, whether he wants to be or not.
That's right.
Helping us make these podcasts sound better. Go listen to his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Graham Look and McElhain, brought to you by our good friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you to Louisville and Coach Walls for coming on here. That was an awesome interview. I told you guys, probably one of my favorite, if not the favorite. If you haven't already, y'all go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little rating, a little 5-star review. We'd love that. Love to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.